Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 60 minutes, we will recap a wild game between the Giants and the Saints on Sunday, 52-49. The Saints outlast the Giants. Kai Forbath's 50-yard field goal as time expired lifted New Orleans to victory. We'll go over the injury report. Tom Coughlin will address the media a little bit later today via conference call, so he'll probably have more news to report then. But we'll certainly go over the latest in terms of the team personnel, as well as what was a crazy game in the Big Easy. And we'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. If you can't get to the phone, you could also chime in on the conversation via hashtag Giants Chat. Jeff, I don't know where to start with this game, but let's start obviously from an offensive production standpoint. Both teams combining for 1,000 total yards, 13 touchdown passes, which was an NFL record. Eli's got a career-high 6 touchdown passes. Drew Brees, the 8th player in NFL history to throw for 7. Not much defense being played in this contest.
Not much of anything being played on defense rather than offensively. I think both these teams, we knew, at least, you know, the guys in the pregame show that they had, they were up against two defenses that were ranked at the very bottom in the league, and they had some opportunities to be able in the passing game, and they certainly went out there and took advantage of it. And, you know, the Giants offensively didn't have a lot of first downs, didn't have a lot of third down conversions because they didn't come on third downs. They were, you know, what would they? What
one
did we
for
say?
Eight.
What were they?
One for eight.
One for eight. But the Saints on the flip side had 7 for 11. You know, but there was over 60 first downs in this ball game, which is crazy. But to score 49 points and lose the game and come ahead on the turnover ratio again. It's tough to take. And I think that, you know, if we fast forward to the end of the game, what happened there, you know, you're sitting there watching this game go, and you kind of had a feeling that something like this was going to happen. It was either going to be some team was going to win on a field goal, or there was going to be something out of the ordinary happen, because it was too ordinary what was happening. 13, it was this guy throws a touchdown, Brees throws a touchdown, and then here comes Eli, and back and forth and back and forth. But I just don't know what to say about this defense. I know that they're a bunch of guys that really like the, you know, they play hard, they continue to get turnovers, and they hang around in games because of that. But I think how long can it last you through the season and into the playoffs if you make it? But I'm starting to see a little bit of strides with the offense and the running game. This offense that we saw against the Saints is a little bit of an anomaly. I don't think they're going to be this high-powered every week because they went against a defense which was horrible Rob Ryan's defense. So, you know, they got a lot of work to do. They're still in first place. Washington and the Eagles had their bye, and you had Dallas lose last night. So that does well. But they had a good chance to separate themselves a little bit with a win here on the road against the Saints, but that didn't happen.
As you mentioned, Jeff, a game that had an offensive clinic, a game that had a lot of points surrendered, gets decided on a special teams play. And we spoke about this on our radio postgame show last night, but to give this audience some perspective, obviously the goal is Brad Wing wants to punt it out of play. That's number one. When you can't punt it out of play, the second priority is in terms of hang time, as you were talking about last night.
Yeah, well, I think I don't think that that Brad was instructed to kick it out of bounds, because that's not something he does. And I think that, you know, when I played, you got used to the ball going out of bounds because that's what I did. I mean, I was able I didn't really know how to do that until, you know, the 15th year in the league. So to ask a young guy to learn how to do it right away, you just don't do it. A lot of people think it's easy. It is easy to kick a ball out of bounds, 25, 30 yards. But, you know, in that situation, when they're on the 20-yard line and you kick it 30 yards out of bounds, they're getting the ball at the 50.
Great field position.
So I think in that situation, like you said, the first thing you want to do is you go out on the field and you look at the front that they have. Now, even, believe me, punters look at the front. They're either, if there's two guys on the right and two guys on the left covering your gunners, you know that there's six guys in the box. They're in a return mode. And that's what they were in yesterday. They were going to try to get a return. And in that situation, you say to yourself, okay, number one thing, I don't want to give up a big play with a block kick, because there are a lot of times block punts do come off of return looks, because the guys, they take the play off. They say, oh, they're in a return, they're not rushing, and next thing you know, they block it. So that's the first thing. The other thing is that you have to be able to get your guys to go down there and cover. And they didn't do that. They did not cover. Craig Dahl missed the tackle, and then he comes back and made a great strip. But D'Ossi wasn't down, you know, didn't make a play. The gunners got Dwayne Harris, who's off the field, who's your best gunner, because he's basically 50% at that point, because he came back in the game from being hurt, and he was running all the offensive plays. But you got two of your guys running down, and Jeremy Davis and Miles White are your gunners, two inexperienced guys, and they don't get it done, and they get a return. And then, of course, you hate to blame Brad Wing on a face-masking penalty, because, first of all, the guy shouldn't be making tackles anyways. But from a punting perspective, you'd like to just get the ball up there 40 yards and hang it and get a fair catch. Okay, so then they get the ball on the plus 40, on the minus 40 over there or so, and then they got one or two plays, and so it was very unfortunate what happened. It really was.
And that ultimately decided the outcome of the
well,
game,
yeah.
Because the 15-yard penalty gets tacked on from the Giants' 47-yard line. So now all of a sudden the Saints are at the Giants' 32, and with 5 seconds left, and I was listening to Sean Payton's post-game presser, he's saying that changes our thought process, because they were thinking 5 seconds left, a timeout, we could still get at least one quick play in.
To try to get down to the 39-yard line is what they needed to do.
Correct.
You know, that's a 57, 56-yard
field
goal.
A little bit more manageable for Kai Forbath,
right,
compared to taking it from the 47. Then all of a sudden, you're giving it to us on the 32. We're not even going to take a chance to run a play. We're just going to attempt a 50-yard field goal.
Right, exactly.
So it changes the dynamics of the thought process for the opposition thanks to that penalty.
But I will tell you this, that when you look back on – yeah, that play cost the Giants the game. But when your defense cannot stop an opposing team's offense at any time during the game, there's got to be a light that goes off and says there's something wrong here. You know, the Saints, look at their drives. They had 80-yard drives. They had 96-yard drives. This team just can't get off the field defensively. And they just kept going down and down the field constantly. Broken coverages. You saw Colson on a
wide open
just from the 30-yard line, he basically walked to the end zone. So yeah, and you say, well, they're getting turnovers, but you know, there's a lot of things you can blame if what cost you the game. And of course, in hindsight, you look and say, yeah, that punt was the decision that was what cost you the game. Yeah, but the big picture here is that,
yeah,
defensively, there was a lot of other things that they should have brushed up on, and it just didn't happen.
Well, Jeff, I think you summarized football perfectly, because we get caught up in the exact last play, and that is the end-all, be-all. But if you watch this game, you really have to look at the complete package. And defensively, it goes without saying, the Giants struggled. Drew Brees orchestrated touchdown drives on 5 consecutive possessions. So the Giants clearly struggled to get off the field. And as you noted, it wasn't as if the Saints got favorable field position. For the most part, Josh Brown did his job. It was one touchback after another, Jeff.
Yeah.
Special teams played well. They forced the Saints to have to go 80, 85, 90-yard drives if you look at all 7 of these touchdowns. So that means you're not making it difficult on your defense. You're putting your defense in a positive situation to say, hey, all we need to do at worst, hold them to field goals, keep them out of the end zone. And you know, the Giants' defense struggled to do that. And the third down stat probably is the biggest tell-all. The opposition, the Saints, 7 of 11 on third down. It's been a troubling aspect on defense throughout the course of the season. I mean, that's an area they got to shore up. If you can't stop an opponent on third down, Jeff, that means they're going to continue to go up and down the field on you.
And they did. And they did. And I'd be interested to see what the average drive start was for the Saints. I'm going to guess maybe the 24-yard line, somewhere around in there. That's 86 yards to have to go for touchdowns, and they did. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of things you have to look at in this game. Some injuries that happen. You got, Darkwood goes out of the game, which you're probably going to see a little bit more carries out of him. You lose Larry Donnell, your number one tight end offensively. And then you got it on defense. You got, you know, you guys, to me, defensive guys, they have to, we got to get some guys stepping up and I know that they're making plays, but we need a little bit more consistency in the way these, the defense is playing. I mean, it's tough on Spagnuolo's because I don't believe that the Giants, it's tough for them to play consistently when you have an inconsistent lineup every week. And, we were talking about this last night, is that you got the Giants linebacking core who are just – it's a turnstile there. And it's hard to get any type of consistency out of that group when you don't know who's starting from one week to the other. No continuity whatsoever. You know, you got Brinkley in there now starting a middle linebacker, making the calls, where normally Unga's in there making the calls at the beginning of the season. He was there. Then Beeson comes in. And then you got Kennard that goes out. Then you got JT Thomas who's hurt. And you got a guy that you bring up from the practice squad just in case. So, you know, that's a tough transition when you're moving guys in and out. You got Prince Amukamura out of the lineup. Okay. So here comes Hosley, who as of late has not played as well, in my opinion, as he did at the beginning of the season. Still cannot track the football, making some mental errors. You got Collins, who is, you know, young, a starting rookie out there at safety, a very tough position. Making some plays and the busted coverages. So defensively, this is what you're seeing. You're seeing a team that is inconsistent because of its inconsistent personnel, in my mind.
Because guys are also in and out during the practice week, so there's not a lot of time being spent on the practice field. And we even talked about it in relation to Odell Beckham. No coincidence Odell's got a great game with Eli because he actually got some practice
with him. He got some practice with him. And, you know, I think it's no matter what position you play, you have to practice to get better. Both, you know, in a sense where, yeah, you get better by practicing, but you also get better in practice because you get on the same page as people. You know, you get, especially offensively, and receivers and running backs and things like that. So, and again, you know, offensively too, you lose Schwartz and John Jerry goes in there. The first play John Jerry goes in, he gets a holding penalty. So, you know, a lot of things happen. One thing the Giants didn't do this game that they did against the Eagles was they had a lot of penalties. They didn't have a lot of penalties in this game, which was good. But the Saints did. The Saints and their penalties cost them. There were some crucial downs in there where the Saints made some errors and the Giants extended their drives. You know, the DeMontre Moore personal foul, I thought it was, you know, it's not his normal bonehead mistake that he makes. It was a little bit suspect. I mean, it was very close to throwing, having to throw. It was a close play. It was a bang bang. You know, the other one was the ball was gone. He had a cup of coffee and then he sacked him and then he threw him down. You know, this one was, you know, you poured a cup of coffee, the thing dropped and you grabbed it. It was that
simultaneous.
Quick. So yeah. I'm not going to really get on him for that. It's just the way he plays and his emotions and how he does that. But it was a 2nd and 15. They gave him a first down and they ended up scoring on that play. So that's two times on two DeMontre Moore personal fouls that the teams have gone on and scored touchdowns. So, but lots to talk about. I'm sure the fans are going to, you know, here's our vent Monday.
Absolutely. And we will be getting to your phone calls here in a second. Just want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. I did look up two stats that you had thrown out, Jeff, in terms of starting field position. I don't have the average, but I did look up the Saints had one drive that started at their own 40. And then basically the second best starting point was off the special teams penalty, which was the Giants 32.
Wow.
Outside of that, every other starting position was the Saints own 20 because of a Josh Brown touchback. And they had one that started at the 4, which was the play that Craig Dahl saved it from going into the end zone.
Yep.
So, you know, that just further proves the defense did not put itself in a precarious situation because the Saints had to go 80 to 90 yards. You also mentioned the penalties. How about this? The Giants were 1 for 8 on third down. They had more conversions on third downs
from
thanks
penalties?
To Saints penalties.
Of course.
Three Saints penalties versus getting third downs by their own way.
Yeah, so they were three. They got three first downs and no off the penalties, and they were only 1 of 8 on the other way. So,
yeah. Mind-boggling numbers that have certainly come out of this contest. Let's open up the phone lines here. 201-939-4513. Jeff Fiegels, Lance Meadow here with you for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Nugs is in Minnesota. He gets us started here on a Monday. Nugs, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Doing well, Nugs. What do you got for us?
Well, I mean, it's a sad day, man, when the the offense goes out and puts up 49 points and Eli puts up career numbers and we just can't win. It's just like, you know, this is what we called for Perry Fuel's head for. This is why Perry Fuel's head had to roll, because, you know, the offense plays reasonably well, puts up enough points. You think you've scored enough points where in an NFL game, if you score 35 points, you should be able to win, let alone 49. But third down conversions, and I was just like, you know, when we first hired Spags, I called in and I said I was iffy. It felt like it was a feel-good thing instead of really trying to do something new, getting a fresh take on things. It just felt like, you know, Coughlin kind of went with somebody from the glory years where, you know, he was feeling like he could lean on him. And I'm just like, well, you know, in my opinion, Spags, his system is a failed system. He caught lightning in a bottle the one year that we won. And then everywhere else he's tried to put this system in place, it hasn't worked, and it's always been the personnel. Well, he makes these great halftime adjustments. He makes these great on-the-fly adjustments. Well, where is that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, for years we haven't been able to identify a middle linebacker. Can we get some linebackers up in here? I mean, it's just really frustrating. But at the end of the day, the silver lining is, you know, we're still in first place, barely. But I just think that if by some chance, you know, we end up battling for a wild card with one of these teams that we lost to already, it's not like a division game where we get a chance to run it back later on in the season and, you know, kind of correct our mistakes. But I don't know. I see us possibly still able to pull 10-6 out of this. I think we'll beat the Bucks, the Redskins, the Eagles again, and then we're going to have some dogfights with the Vikings and the Jets and the Dolphins. But I don't think that besides the Dolphins, their offense kind of scares me a little bit. But the other guys, I think that our defense can handle them, seeing as that they're not going to be able to put up points. Like, if we beat Geno Smith, that would just be like love. You know what I'm saying? But
well, I mean, it's a little too early to speculate, Nugs. I mean, we really don't know what some of those teams are going to look like late in the season. I mean, I understand that it's not Drew Brees coming up under center, but, you know, injuries play a big role in the NFL. And look at how many guys got hurt yesterday all across the board. That's going to impact all of those teams moving forward. The Steve Smiths of the world, the Le'Veon Bells of the world. So we got a lot of football before, you know, you can start to think about what Carolina and Minnesota are going to look like in perhaps weeks 15 and week 16.
You're right, but you know, after a loss like that, man, you got a dream, man. You got to.
I hear you.
Got to take your mind.
Understandable.
To a happy place, man.
Well, and that's what the team's trying to do. Listen, the team right now is focused on Tampa Bay. I mean, they got to turn the page, and they got to start focusing on a team that, you know, on paper may not look as intimidating as the Saints because you have a rookie quarterback. But, hey, Tampa Bay rallied and beat Atlanta yesterday in overtime. So, clearly, any given Sunday, the old cliche, you never know what could happen.
Well, we somehow turned a 7-1 team. I mean, in my opinion, that Philly game was the only game where we were totally outmanned, outgunned, outclassed, had no reason even being on the field in the state of mind we were in. We've basically given back three games. We turned a 7-1 team into a 4-4 team that's in a dogfight to get into the playoffs. And I was just wondering, where was the A-gap pressure, I mean, on Drew Brees? I mean, like, That's the rap on him. Even when you play on Madden, I mean, like, you gotta get pressure up in his face. That's all he does is drop back and then slides up into the pocket and looks for a passing lane in between his D tackles. But seeing how the teams that beat him earlier this year, that's all they do is just send Kennard up the A gap. I don't know. I'll take you guys' answer offline, and thanks for taking
all right,
my
Nugs.
Call.
Appreciate the phone call.
Well, we didn't see much pressure at all. I mean, from not only this game but the whole season. You know, Hankins and Jenkins, you know, they get their rush in there and get their hands up, but it wasn't enough. And I think if they could have capitalized on that, it probably would have helped them a little bit better, like you said, because that's what Brees likes to do. He likes to sit in that pocket, and if he starts to get, you know, pressure on the inside of it, he starts going to the outside, and then his accuracy goes down. And but no pressure at all yesterday. In fact, they didn't even get a sack yesterday, which is
No sacks and just three quarterback hits, too. When you look at the numbers here, I'm looking at the breakdown. Robert Ayers had two quarterback hits, and then Jonathan Hankins had one. Yeah. So that was the breakdown.
Well, both teams, you know, didn't get after the passer much. I mean, actually, the Giants got lucky on one play where they did have an A-gap pressure that came up the middle on Eli, and he got just blasted, and he fumbled the football. But remember, they were offside.
Yeah.
Or it was a holding, defensive holding. Yeah. So, you know, they got lucky on that one. Again, there's those penalties that we talked about from the Saints yesterday that, you know, really they had a lot more penalties than the Giants did, but in bigger spots in the game.
It's funny you brought up that play because I mentioned earlier I was watching Sean Payton's presser after we got done with the post game, and that was the one thing he opened up his press conference about. He wasn't even talking about Drew Brees. He was talking about we're up by two touchdowns. We get to Eli Manning. He fumbles the ball, and they back that out because of a holding call. He was arguing that that didn't exist, and the refs can't make that call. So that's what his biggest beef was.
And really, that play did turn around the game because the Giants came back and tied it up. They scored two touchdowns in a matter of 2 minutes, and they got the game back to even.
Let's head back to the phone lines here. We check in with Chris in Philly. Chris, what's happening?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, Chris. What do you got?
Awesome. First of all, congratulations, Jeff.
Okay, right? Thank you.
Yeah, no, I was looking at NFL. You made the all-time undrafted team.
Oh, all-time. There you go.
Yeah.
Is that out today?
So. Wait, what site is that on?
Yeah.
NFL.com.
Oh, we got to bring this
up. Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
All-time undrafted, you were the only Giant to represent, so appreciate you very much, man.
You're welcome.
Right. How
my
about
pleasure,
that?
Huh? We're going to put that up.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I said we got to put that up behind us on the board, you know.
I'm looking for it right
definitely.
Now, yeah.
I mean, you can't blame the last play. We talked about everybody looks at the last play. It was the drive that tied the game before that. I mean, as a defense, you got to say, listen, if we stop them here, that's it. Game is over.
Yep.
And the biggest thing, the reason that we lost the three games out of four at least, is because the over the middle of the field coverage on that seam route is if Jason Witten hit it to win the game on that first game, then I think it was Hankerson when we had the home opener, the same exact game or the same exact play to lose the game over the middle. And then last night to tie the game, I forget if it was Watson or a different receiver, but it was right over the center of the field. And I got to say, every time, people are really hot on this kid, but Unga's around the play, but he's not in position to make it. I mean, he's always around the play, but he's never the guy tipping the ball up. He's always the guy catching it because he's just like second behind. I mean, he's definitely good in, you know, in the box type of guy, and he makes a ton of tackles, but his coverage is just terrible. The defensive line is also terrible.
You know, you made a point, and I'm going to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt you, but you made a point. You know, the series before that, you know, the debacle on the punt thing, if you will, you know, they had a fourth down, okay, that they converted for a first down. Then they had another critical third down completion to Ben Watson to extend the drive, and that was right at 4 minutes left in the game. Okay, then the 2 minute warning comes, and then Spiller comes out of the backfield for a touchdown. You know, really, that's when you think about that. The Giants' defense hadn't stopped anybody all day. If there's ever a time for them to stop it, they had a fourth down play there that they could have ended the game on, but then you know they don't, and the Saints go down and score and tie it up 49-all, and you know then you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, and it's that position where Spiller was right across the middle of the field.
Yep,
like maybe 20 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Well, Brinkley completely never saw him.
And they're all cheating to the one side. Everybody's on the one side, and then they're struggling to get back. And it's just bad defense. I mean, and at some point I blame the coaches because you go eight games into a season and you see that we lose the game on three identical plays essentially. And you just got to – I mean, for me, it's got to be Spags. It's got to be the linebacker coach, the secondary coach saying, listen, these guys are coming wide open middle of the field. Dude, we can't cover a tight end for anything, man. Tight ends are going off on us.
Yeah, all year we have
– It's been a troubling aspect.
I mean, every time we get the over-under on a tight end question, I am going over whatever the number is.
Right.
You're just going by the track record. Yeah.
And on the flip side, we have no tight ends on our team.
Ah, you're right.
So it makes sense because there's no good tight ends going up against our defense, so they don't see it in practice. And then they see a decent tight end who has good receiving skills, and we're getting blown out of the water with them.
And, you know, the league today, most teams, and I say most because I don't think the Giants have that dynamic tight end that everyone else seems to have. You know, every week you line up. I mean, look at Look at Jordan for the Redskins.
Jordan Reed.
He's amazing. I mean, every week these teams have these guys. And you know what? And here's the other thing, too. Now that Jimmy Graham left the Saints, by the way, Ben Watson is not a young guy. He's like a 10, yeah. 11, 12-year veteran. Where does he come from?
I mean, he's been with the Patriots. He's been around the league.
Yeah, and I mean, all of a sudden now, Ben Watson is your new Jimmy Graham. I mean, he is. Look at the numbers he's putting up is just ridiculous.
It is, especially in the last few games.
Unbelievable.
Because what the Saints do, Jeff, is they put out sometimes two and three tight ends out there because they have depth. So they'll have Josh Hill in. He'll be the blocker. Ben Watson will run the route. And then you have to play the guessing game, who's staying back and who's going to run the route. And that's why they're so
dangerous. I can't imagine what this giant offense would be with a Victor Cruz, healthy Victor Cruz in it, and two tight ends that are able to, you know, I don't want to compare it to a Gronkowski or a Jimmy Graham, but you know, you know what I'm talking about. If they had a couple tight ends that were really playmakers in that sense, man, this offense would be unstoppable. Because I mean, they could set up the running game and that running back by committee that they go to, and you know, and really being Darkwood going out of the game yesterday, he came in there and he had a nice series of runs. He really did, and you know, they weren't running the ball at all. I mean, they had Andre Williams in there at the beginning, and they couldn't punch it in down there on the goal line. They settled in. They said, you know what, forget it. We're just going to pass it. And they throw a nice rub route to Beckham on the first touchdown. So that hurt them a little bit with Darkwood being out of the lineup too, because you know what, if Dark was in the game, he's another core special teams player at the end of the game, might have been able to make a tackle down there too.
A lot of players play dual roles on this team, especially with all
no
the
injuries. Oh, there's no question. Yeah. Hey. Absolutely. I mean, Darkwa and Dahl, those guys are very good course. Dwayne Harris is one of your best gunners, and unfortunately he couldn't have been in it on that play because he was just banged up, and they felt that somebody else could go out there and make a play. And that's really all you ask your teammates to do is go out and make a play for somebody and make a big play. It's not the first time these guys ever have faced double coverage on a punt gunner situation. They've been taught the technique. They got to know how to split the guy or take one side and go and make a play down there and stop the return.
Shane Vereen's another guy who plays a dual role, and he actually did a nice job filling in for Dwayne Harris as a return man yesterday.
Really did. He had some big – one all the way out, almost to the 40-yard line. I think it was the 38, and another one up to the 28-yard line. So, you know, anytime you can get the ball anywhere near that 30-yard line or north of that is great drive start position for your offense.
Chris, appreciate the phone call. Let's head back to the lines. Drew's in Virginia. Drew, welcome aboard. What do you got?
Hey, guys, John, Lance, how you guys doing today?
Good, good. It's Jeff and Lance.
Jeff and Lance, yeah. But it's all right. Yeah, no worries.
You're discombobulated.
Hey, you know, for me, there are three games that I can say that I broke my remote control. three games, okay? And
Philly.
I'm sure there's been more, but I'm just gonna go back, okay? 2003 49ers-Giants playoff game. We was up by 24 points. That debacle, we lost that game. The miracle in the Meadowlands, too, we was up big. We give up a kickoff return. And then this game, we lose it on a freaking special teams play. I mean, that is ridiculous. Eli had this offense had one of their best games all year, all right? And I'll tell you right now, I'll be honest, okay? If we would have lost that game as a regular play, okay, Drew Brees had the ball last and he went down and scored and the game was open. Yeah, I would have been mad, okay, because, you know, the defense has done what the defense has done all year. But it would have been like, okay, you know what, we played. But the way we lost that game, man, just I swear to God, I couldn't even watch another football game. I turned TV off after that.
Well, there wasn't much left. There was only 30 seconds left, Drew. That was a good time to turn the TV off. There wasn't much left in the game.
Talking about the Cowboys. Yeah, but, I mean, it was just horrendous. And, I mean, you know, we come in here, we're saying the same old, same old, same old thing. Okay, the defense. You know, I ain't trying to be funny. Okay, we got rid of an offensive coordinator. We got rid of a defensive coordinator. Who's next, the water boy? I mean, come on. This defense is atrocious, and it's been like that forever. When's the last time we went to the playoffs, guys? Made a playoff. It's been about 5 years.
2011,
yeah, when they won the Super Bowl.
So, I mean, it's I'm not going to, you know what I mean, the defense is horror, and we already know that. So I'm not going to beat that to death. But I am going to give the positives, which is Eli was impressive in that game yesterday. The offense that they put out, and, I mean, Eli couldn't be stopped, too. Now, on that last drive, yeah, you know, there was some crazy things here and there. But, you know, man, that's a game that, if nothing else, it should have at least won in the overtime. But
you know, Drew, you gotta like the play out of Dwayne Harris in the last couple weeks. You know, he gets a touchdown last week. He gets another two touchdowns this week. Specifically, you know, he comes in to the Giants because they told him, we're going to give you a chance to, you know, to make some plays, not only in the kicking game, but offensively, we're going to get you in there. That's why he came here. You know, a lot of people do know that, but a lot of people don't, is that the reason that he chose the Giants was because of that. And now you're showing that he's showing that that's why he came here and that's why he wanted to play. I will tell you this, that dude's tough, okay?
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean,
they need more of those guys.
Great plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some great plays. And I tell you, right, again, because I asked you last week, I was like, who's this Harris? I didn't even, you know, I didn't know who he was. But, yeah, the kid is great. Like I said, Eli showed up, Beckham showed up. I mean, the whole, you know, offensively, man, this team rolled, and big, big kudos to him. And like I said, in a funny kind of way, you're never happy when your team loses, but I kind of would have been, okay, yeah, we lost, you know, blah, 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 but it's just the way we lost that just, oh, man, that's just
that's
like
what
one
gets
of
you.
The
that's
worst.
What
well, absolutely,
gets you
Drew, especially
yeah.
after you erase a pair of 14-point deficits. They were down by two touchdowns twice
yeah.
in this game, not once, and they came back. And when
yeah.
you get that defensive touchdown, you know, Jeff and I were even talking about this off the air, you think momentum is swung now heavily in favor of the Giants. You know,
oh,
the
yeah.
Saints, they were rolling.
Yeah.
Tremaine McBride gets that defensive score. That could have been it, but obviously
right, exactly.
it wasn't.
But, you know, again, what happens, again, like every offense out there, you know, and I was talking to my family because I got family up in Maryland. I was up in Maryland, actually. I got back yesterday just in time to see the Giants game. But, you know, we was talking about that. And like I said before, like I was telling him, with our defense, offenses know that they got that passing card in that game. They're like, yeah, we're going to run the ball, see if we can run the ball. But we always know we can pass. And once again, man, Drew Brees and boys just march right down the field. To me, man, offenses need to hang over the Giants' defense. Resistance is futile.
11
that's basically different what
receivers.
It is.
Right? Yeah. Was it 11?
Spread the wealth. I don't know if it was
yeah.
11, but
I think
it was in
10.
That ballpark.
It was 10 or 11 receivers
threw
that
the ball
Drew
to.
Brees threw the ball to. And you know what? Eli spread it around, too, now.
Yeah.
They both had, you know, what was it?
Nine different guys.
Nine
different guys caught receptions.
Yeah. And Eli probably had seven or eight.
And then
yeah,
Eli
I'm,
had
I'm
one, two,
say,
three,
you
four,
know,
five, six,
I'm
seven,
I'm just
going to
say
yeah.
this, you know, for me, you know, I know what could have, should have, would have been. And, yeah, the defense was horrible and everything else and that. But I'm of the opinion the last play of the game, you know, especially in a close game, decides the game. And, again, you know, yeah, first and foremost, I'm not going to argue with anybody. This defense is atrocious, and they could have did a better job. That said, we still could have won the game if special teams does what they do.
Well, you look at four of the eight games have come down to really the last, you know, think about the first two games, you know, they lose those, the fourth quarter leads and their last, you know, those are, then you get the Dallas game where the Giants win on the last play
yep.
of the game in essence, you know, really. Then this
it's
one,
a muff punt.
I mean, it's like these guys, and I was saying in the studio yesterday, we were there and I'm watching the red zone on the other channel, and all these games are ending, and they're ending in the normal way, you know? Okay,
right.
And the Chargers win the game, and the Bills, da da da. Then there's the Giant games. The Giant games never end like the other games do, right? It's just,
Jeff,
it's unbelievable.
Let me ask you this question. I'm going to let you go. Let me ask you this question, okay? Honestly, what did you think when you saw that play and we lost the way we lost?
I did the same thing. I had to continue to watch the game. You got to turn it off and leave. I had to go through the rest of it, Drew. Yeah, I stood up. I threw my pen down. I said, you got to be kidding me, right? You got to be kidding me. Well, and I walked into the studio, and Lance was in. I said, Lance, are you serious? Seriously, how does this happen?
Every week we have a new script that we follow. And, Drew, listen, appreciate the phone call. And getting back to your point, Jeff, you're right. I mean, Dallas comes down to the wire week one. Atlanta comes down to the wire week two. Okay, Washington, a little bit more comfortable. But things did get a little interesting in the fourth quarter. Buffalo, comfortable victory once Rashad Jennings got the touchdown. San Francisco, final drive. Philadelphia, lopsided game. Last week, the kickoff return. And then this week in New Orleans. So, more than half of these games are being decided in the final two drives of the contest.
And one thing that everyone needs to understand is when I played for Coach Coughlin for 6 years, so I know all the things that go on in the meetings and all his sayings and what he preaches and what he's, you know. All he ever asks is that get the game into the fourth quarter with us a chance to win the game. Okay, Philadelphia? You didn't have a chance to win the game because when you went into the fourth quarter, the game was out of reach. Every else one of those games, get us into the fourth quarter where we have a chance to win the game. Okay, now, that's all said and done. Great. So now that we're in the fourth quarter and we have a chance to win the game, now what do? We got to win the game.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you that. You got to make plays in all three phases of the game. Make plays on offense. The Giants did yesterday. They made many, many big plays on offense. Make plays on defense. Not too many, but they did get a couple turnovers. Make plays on special teams. That's what happened. At the end of the game, you made a bad play there. And so get it in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game and then win the game. And they didn't do that. And that's what he teaches. That's what he preaches. Just you gotta play that way.
And whenever you get into an offensive clinic, it comes down to the little things, such as special teams and defensive plays. That's what's going to decide.
And discipline and you know, penalties. Penalties lose you games. We've seen it before. The Saints are lucky. They're really lucky that they won that game yesterday. When you think about penalties lose you games, a penalty on the punter, that is just, when you think about that, that's wrong. I mean, how does that happen?
In a game where there was over 1,000 total yards of offense, the punter.
It is the deciding factor of a game that the punter is, I mean, he's making the tackle. First of all, I played a long time. I don't know how to tackle. None of us know how to tackle. It's just the guy's there, and you just do the best you can to bring him down. And unfortunately, Brad gets his hand on the face mask. Oh, my goodness.
How many penalties did you have over your career? Do you even remember? Were you ever penalized?
The only time I ever get penalized was on a delay game where they say, you know, delay game number 18 or whatever. I get pegged for the penalty. Other than that, I've never had
a penalty. Okay.
Never had
no, but you were in a position to make a tackle a few times.
We've seen
some highlights on YouTube.
Yeah, but I usually would tackle with my head down and never
or
see
or get out of the way.
It's just unbelievable.
Completely.
I was a horrible tackler, which most punters and kickers are. And I remember one year we had a kicker in here. What's his name? The guy that jumped up in the Cardinals and, you know, came down and
Gramatica.
And I remember that he came in here and one of the special teams coaches, I think it was Coach. I remember who the special teams coach was, but Sweatman, and he was going to put us through. He put us through tackling drills. You know, simulated tackling drills, not real tackling
what,
drills,
with
but
the dummies or
but
not
yeah,
even the
well,
dummies?
Yeah, like okay. You know, or both guys, you know, you and me here, and just practicing on outside shoulder, get your head
form
outside
and so
form
forth.
And this and yeah. that. And Gramatica, he blew out his back on that drill.
He doesn't have a good track record.
The moral of the story is that we can't even practice to tackle, let alone really tackle.
So after that, you learned your lesson. Jeff wasn't going to get.
Well, I told him, I said, listen, Coach, with all due respect, I'm not going to do this drill because I think I was like 39
games.
Years old at that time. Like, I'm not going to. I mean, I'll just use the sideline as my tackler because if that's all I would ever do, I'd just get to the guy on the sideline, just use that and just push him out of bounds, you know. Anyways,
remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Maurice is in New Jersey. Maurice, what's happening?
Lance and Jeff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Maurice. What's going on, my man?
Listen, man, that game was tough. My mom, she said, man, you're going to have high blood pressure, you know, messing with these Giants. Cause it's so up and down, man. I get so crazy in the house. Like, It's ridiculous. But listen, I listen to the other Giants fans, and they're totally right, man. But me, personally, I'm going to go in another direction. I think that I've seen the bad and some good things from this team. Now, each week presents a new task, but if this offense, offensively speaking, if we can build on that, if we can try to, you know, open it up, let's hit, you know, let's try to stay efficient. It's our defense, and they can't, you know, they can't really stop anything. But I do take my hat off. One caller was getting on Spags pretty bad. And listen, if I don't care who you bring back, if you got those people hurt, you know, and some of your key guys, no pass rush, it doesn't matter. I think I can complete some passes on that Giants defense because there's no rush. If I could just sit back there, I might be able to sling it around a little bit. But, I have to take my hat off to the guys that's in coverage because this is a scrappy team. Like, I like them. They fight, you know what I mean?
Oh, they do.
They get put down. You know, somebody come out, hit them with a one-piece. They go down, they get up, and they start swinging back. You know, it's not pretty, but I like what I see from this defense because they not just giving up. They not tucking their tails out there. They fighting, and they causing turnovers. I'm loving it. I haven't seen this many turnovers from a Giants team in a while.
18 takeaways.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? This is something that I'm loving. I don't like the lack of pass rush. Like, that's killing me. I'm always yelling, get your hands up, because at least, you know, you could try to get into the throwing lanes. But, listen, man, I'm moving on. That was a tough way to lose. Like, trust me, I was like, it was like, wow, are you kidding me? Like, you lose the game like that. But, you know, my thing is, you know, build offensively. Or don't have a game like this and then go Eli turn around and be, you know, have 120 yards next week. Nah, we got to keep this up. But the defense, man, has this game, I'm going to ask you guys a quick question, and I just want to finish my thoughts. But has this team put together a complete game this year, do you guys think?
Well, what do you mean by complete game, where all three facets are balanced?
Offense and defense.
The Dallas game.
Complete game.
I think the Dallas game was pretty close because you had a special team score, a defensive score,
and an
offensive score.
So, and you had some field goals, too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and so that's as close as the game as off the top of my head I can think of is probably the Dallas game.
I would agree. I think you definitely have to go to the Dallas. I'd give the Dallas game the edge, Jeff, over San Francisco, because in San Francisco, the Niners, you know, did quite well offensively. There weren't nearly as many defensive stops and takeaways as we saw in the Cowboys game. The Buffalo game, I mean, that maybe gets some consideration offensively. They made a number of big plays. Defensively, they had some takeaways. Special teams, Brad Wing, I know, had one rough punt. Other than that, I don't think Buffalo benefited from field position. But I think Dallas, the second matchup, is the one that probably stands out the most.
Well, that's what I meant, the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so look, I think there's still some, you know, I understand the Giants fans and their frustrations. Trust me, I'm frustrated. But I like to try to stay positive because, remember, 2011, we lost four straight, and no other team came back from that. So, you know, I've been down some roads before with this team. So, you know, I mean, I'm not throwing in the towel. I hope no one else is. But
yeah,
all I can hope for is that somehow this team later on in the season, maybe after a bye week, who knows, we start getting healthy, and now they're on the NFL Network. Yeah, the Giants are getting healthy. And then somehow Jason Pierre-Paul comes back, a little, you know, magical, you know, a pass rush starts to appear, something. Because, you know, I'm not worried about the offense. The defense is, you know, it's pretty tough. But they're getting turnovers in key moments. So I'm liking that. I'm liking the fact that this team is causing turnovers at key points of the game. And I like the fact that we didn't abandon the run. We stayed pretty balanced. You know, that's why the play action was there for us. And, you know, I just overall, you know, it was a heartbreaking loss. But I like what I've seen. Now, with what's my guy that got hurt late? Somebody got hurt late that I was concerned about. Jeez, do you guys know who?
On offense or defense, who are you referring to?
Somebody got hurt late. It wasn't
what side of the ball?
Was it offense? I'm not
sure.
Well, Darkwa had the back injury.
Kerry Wynn. Kerry Wynn.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Kerry Wynn headed to the sideline. I mean, Tom Coughlin's going to update everybody a little bit later today. I don't think it's that big of a concern based on what Coughlin said in the postgame presser. I mean, Larry Donnell and Orleans Darkwa are probably the two most notable injuries out of yesterday's game, Maurice.
Okay, fine. But, you know, I'm going to leave with these final thoughts. And listen, if this Giants team, you know, are we playing in Tampa next week?
Correct. Yes, they're on the road in Tampa.
Okay, wonderful. That's perfect. You know what I mean? Some warm weather. sling the ball around some more. Maybe we get another, you know, 300-yard day out of Eli. Who knows?
All right, Maurice.
You guys let me go?
Yeah, I want to try to get this to the callers. Appreciate the phone call, though. Okay. Thanks so much for chiming in. All right, let's hit up Dre in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? Hey, Figs, what's going on?
What's up,
Dre? What do you got for us?
Man, Figs, what did I tell you Friday? I was one of the last callers Friday, and I told you, if we put our hands up on a diminutive quarterback.
They didn't get their hands up, did they?
Not at all.
No, they didn't get no pressure on him up the middle, no hands up in the air, no batted down passes. The only thing they did do is they just gave him all kinds of time in the world. One of the most accurate passers in NFL history. Guy goes up and throws 7 touchdowns and has a day. And the Giants are still in first place. I'm trying to get everybody. I'm walking everybody off the ledge. You know that we have to take it 1 week at a time. And, you know, it's going to be this way all year, folks.
It's going to be a dogfight
all year. There's going to be these Mondays and there's going to be these Fridays, the 2 days that I'm on the show, that we're going to talk about the ups and the downs and how this team has rode out the wave and where they're going to go. Listen, the Cowboys are 2-5. Okay, if they can, I don't know, I don't care when Romo comes back or Dez Bryant, but they're digging themselves a hole. Okay, the Giants are 4-4 and ahead in the first place. You look at the other two teams, Washington and the Eagles. We're not going to talk about the Redskins. You really think the Redskins are going to do anything? I think it's the Giants and the Eagles that we got to worry about in the NFC East right now. So, and by the way, we're one of those teams that I just mentioned. Now, I'm trying to be Captain Optimistic here for the Giants fans, just trying to walk them off the ledge a little bit that we're still in first place. You lose again. I don't know which, you know, let me ask you a question. How would you rather lose a game? And now remember, I know they're both losses, but would you rather lose the game like you did against Philadelphia, or would you rather lose the game that you did yesterday? I think it's a difficult question because you got offensively what they did yesterday is just unbelievable. You know, which one would you take? If I had told you got to pick one of these.
Be honest with you, I'll take the Philly game.
I figured he was going to say that. The fan would rather deal with the lopsided loss,
of course,
than have to deal with the heartbreaker.
Let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you exactly why. Against New Orleans, you were playing against a defense that was pretty much as bad as ours. So I expect our quarterback to have a field day because even though they had 3 sacks, they still had their pass rush still wasn't enough to take Eli off his mark. I'd rather you come in here totally unprepared and get dominated and come in there, have success, and put 49 points on the board and lose. Even if he had won yesterday, I would still have a problem because it's glaring in the week. But it was, between the damn flea flicker. I mean, the problem, this is what I think, and I'll take this off the air. It reminds me of last year when everybody was trying to do somebody else's job. No one was sticking to their keys and their responsibilities. This, unless Trevor Wade was supposed to rush the quarterback, there should be no reason why Snead running right by him.
Yeah, he totally
Everybody
bit on the
to
run.
Do somebody else's job.
Yeah, he bit on the and run big time.
And no. Dre, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. They had some miscommunications, Jeff.
Oh, no, there's
no
question.
Well documented.
That was a complete blown. Trevor Wade bit on the run. He went up for it and it's just gone. See, I'm the other way. I'm taking this loss over the Philly loss because it's in the division. That's the only reason I'm doing it.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I just figure the fan is more. I'd rather.
I don't want
that
division.
The game
loss.
Was out of hand. Where you're looking at the mathematics for the sake of the standings.
I'm looking at the mathematics because that's the way it's going to be. Mathematically, it's who's going to make this playoffs in the NFC East is. Mathematically, by division wins and this and that, it's going to be coming down to it. But I got to tell you, folks, put your seatbelt on. because it's going to be a wild ride for the rest of the year. I'm telling you, look
at
the schedule.
It's already been a wild ride.
It's going to be crazy. It already is. And God bless everybody. Take their medicine. Take your high cholesterol and your blood pressure medicine because it's going to continue.
Eat healthy for the next few weeks, I guess, what Jeff is saying. Make sure you get some exercise in, too.
Unbelievable. The fourth quarter in these Giants games are not made for people with high blood pressure.
They're not made for even people with regular blood pressure.
Yeah,
too,
the people with regular blood pressure are going
to
get high blood pressure watching
it. Range. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegel's with you on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Kashawn is in Maryland. Kashawn, what's happening?
What's up, Kashawn?
Hi, guys.
How we doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Doing well. How's everything with you?
Good. Okay, I don't call much, so I got a few things that I want to discuss.
All right.
First off, I'm not frustrated like some of the fans because frustration derives from unrealistic expectations. And my expectations for the Giants are realistic.
Well, there you go. See? There you go. That's very simply stated.
Okay, thank you. This is a mediocre team. We're 4-4. The definition of a mediocre team is when you have a team that's pretty good in one area, but really, really bad in the other area. And that other area is causing you football games. That's what mediocre means, is you're so-so. If you look at all the games the Giants have lost, it has been because the defense has an inability to stop someone, okay? Despite the Philly game, all the other three, if the defense would have made a stop, we probably could have won the game. Eli Manning is balling. I mean, if we had a defense, this would be a guy who would probably be up for MVP. He is playing out of his you-know-what this year, and it's unfortunate that it's being overshadowed by the record or the lack of play on the defense because the people in the media aren't talking about Eli, but his numbers are fantastic.
Kashawn, you're 100% right. I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. 17 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He's had a number of games without any turnovers, any giveaways. He's protected the football. His decision-making has been on key. I agree with you. I think it's easy to overlook those numbers in a season where there's been some breakdowns in other areas and a lot of close games that came down to the wire.
And you go back to even last year. You carry over a little bit of what he did last year and into this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the last 10, 12 games, has been phenomenal for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. And I said in the beginning of the year, I said that this team is going to go as far as the offense takes us. And I really believe that. But unfortunately, the defense is causing us games. And I think on offense, I mean, shout out to Jerry Reese for the two player acquisitions with Shane Vereen and Dwayne Harris. They've paid dividends for us. And I think as far as offense, I'm just going to say this. As long as we upgrade in the draft via free agency, the tight end, the guard, and get another running back, this offense is going to be set for a few years. And lastly, all I'm going to say is this defense is just terrible. It's just terrible. And I don't blame Steve Spagnuolo. There's only so much that you can do when you have average talent. And then when your average players get hurt, what do you think the backups are? So when you and I think John Beeson needs to be a – he needs to be completely removed from this team. Because let me tell you why. I'd rather take an average linebacker that can play 16 games than take a good linebacker that can only play 7. And he is hurting the team. The lack of cohesiveness with the linebacking core, he needs to go. And the Giants have to do a heavy, heavy, heavy investment via free agency in the draft in this defense because it is costing us games, fellas. So I got my seatbelt on.
Good.
Hopefully 8-8 will win the division because that looks like that's probably what's going to take because I see it going back and forth.
Yeah, there's no wild card coming out of this division. No
all right, Kashawn. Number of good points and appreciate the phone
very
call.
Very well. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you're a big fan because I think that you got your seatbelt on. I enjoy that.
She's taking your advice. Well, she already took her own advice.
She already took her own advice.
So she's ready for the ride. All right, a few minutes left. You wanted to say something else?
No, she made some good points.
Absolutely. A few minutes left. I want to try to squeeze in these three callers, so hopefully
keep
we'll try to bang them out. Exactly. Want to get your point across, and then we'll move on. JC is in Phoenix. JC, what's happening? No, we don't have JC anymore. Okay, how about LaVon in Atlanta? LaVon, what's happening?
Hey, LaVon.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance.
How we doing, LaVon?
I saw the game yesterday. I know I got to be quick. I got a lot to say. I should have tried to call in earlier. Very upset. I think the biggest problem, obviously, is defense. But the defense looked unprepared yesterday. Too many missed assignments. Too many missed tackles. Too many wide-open players. I know we got a lot of injuries. But practice, preparation, I can't understand why Marquise Colston is running free into the end zone with no one around him on a busted play against one of the best quarterbacks ever to play in the National Football League. I don't understand that. I want to comment on two players. I want to comment on Brandon Merriweather. I've called before. I know this guy's made a handful of plays throughout the season, but he cannot cover anybody. He cannot tackle anyone. Drew Brees threw for 500 yards yesterday, and he had zero tackles. He was run over twice. I think we should try to at least see if the guy we drafted years ago can at least play. I just want to know if he can play. Can he make a tackle? Can
Who
he cover?
That?
That's Cooper Taylor.
He's
just sitting there.
They cut
he's
him.
Young. He's young. I know he's inexperienced,
he's
but
not
so
on the
is
team.
He's not on the team, though, Levon.
Yeah, they cut him.
I don't know if you heard what Jeff
ago.
Said. He was cut as part of a transaction,
okay.
So he's no longer on the roster.
My last
yeah.
point, I'm going to be quick so the other guy can go. I don't know if anyone else saw it. Reuben Randall, I've lost all patience with Reuben Randall. That go route, when we had the ball on first down, that lack of effort to get that football was glaring, and I hope the coach saw that. The coach had to see that. I hope people saw that and they pointed out his lack of effort, the running out of bounds, the ducking down. He's 6'2", what is he, 6'2", 220. The guy plays like he's my size. And I'm just, his lack of effort is frustrating.
It's tough to watch at times. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, what is he doing? You got to lay out for that ball. He didn't even extend his arms to catch that ball on the go route.
Yeah.
He didn't even extend. He extended his arm on the one-handed catch more than he did on that play. And I don't understand what is wrong with that guy. I hope the coach saw it. He had to see it.
Of course he did. They yeah. recognize it. Thanks for the call. They recognize it. They see it. Reuben is one of those guys. It's when he shows up one day and then next day he doesn't, and then he makes up for it, and it is difficult to watch sometimes. And then on the other hand, he does make some good plays, so you just kind of – and on the other hand, they don't have anybody else. I mean, you really don't. So.
Well, and it was unfortunate based on what the last caller just alluded to and what you were saying, Jeff. The offense was so productive throughout the whole course of the game, and then you look at that final drive before – obviously they were forced to punt, and that was the quick three and out. And
yeah.
you had the deep pass to Randall down the left sideline.
And why? Why? Because they want to take a shot down there to try to win the game. You know, you get one in there, and not only is it maybe not a completion, you know what happens, guys. You get that pass interference call. You know, you don't get the completion, but you get the PI, and it's spot a foul.
The chains regardless.
Okay, and
especially
now you got a first down on a 25, 30-yard play, and now you got two timeouts left. You run a couple plays, and then you get Josh Brown to kick a field goal to win the game. So I do not slight the play call there. The caller was saying that he's just a little bit upset about the effort, which we can all dispute if we want, but so, anyways, let's go
and
to the...
And then just real quickly, two plays later, then the pass to Harris, which was a little high.
High.
But,
Eli said it was high.
Obviously, it's the combination of those two that led to the punt. But, you know, it's hard to sit here and pick apart Harris's game, considering he suffered a sprained knee and a sprained ankle.
I'm not
carted
taking,
off,
listen,
and then he comes back in the game and scores two touchdowns.
I think that his toughness right there just it absolves anything else that he did wrong, in my opinion, because I think that's the type of player you need. You need that toughness. You need more of that, to be honest with you.
All right, let's close up shop with one last phone call. Dave is in New Jersey. Dave, what's happening?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Dave.
Well, Dave, what do you got for us?
I think Coughlin's getting too much of a pass on these losses. There's three this year, I think, that really, you know, he cost them the game. And yesterday, not calling timeouts at the end when Brees was obviously going to seem like the score a touchdown there. And obviously, also not kicking, you know, punting out of bounds. I mean, I just don't understand how he doesn't get more of the blame and take more of the blame for these losses. I know the players got to make the plays, but just watching the game yesterday, I couldn't believe that he didn't call timeouts there at the end.
You're talking about on Drew Brees' last drive in which they tied
yeah.
the game? Well, but why would you want to give more time to the opposing offense to continue to orchestrate its offense?
Well, they had tons of time. There was no way that they weren't going to have enough time. They had three timeouts they never even used, the Saints. So it wasn't like they weren't going to have enough time.
Well, but Dave, not to cut you off, if we go with your hypothetical, okay, and they use some timeouts, the Giants still went 3-and-out after the Saints tied the game. So that means
that's
now
true.
You're leaving more time after the punt for the Saints to get down the field to perhaps either get a game-winning touchdown or a game-winning field goal.
Well, the Giants, I mean, with 30 seconds left, Eli had to, you know, go for a big play, which he probably wouldn't have had to if they had 2 minutes, you know, like they should have. They should have had at least, you know, 2 minutes. And the way I looked at it, if they had used their timeouts, and then they could have just, you know, had so many more options on offense.
Well, I mean, they had a dump off to Shane Vereen, and the Dwayne Harris throw wasn't necessarily 50 yards down the field. I understand the Randall play. I don't know, though, if the thought process and offense, you're still going to be just as aggressive, Jeff, because the goal is you want to get in a position to win the game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, somehow you got to get, you know, more than 10 or 15 yards. So even if you had your timeouts left and you had a little bit more, it's just, you know, that's your opinion. That's fine. But it's you don't want to waste the timeouts if you don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't get the rationale.
They didn't even use them. They never even used their timeouts.
I don't know. I just think that, like Lance was saying, you don't want to give that the other team, you know, and more time than they need. I mean, you are winning the game at that point in time.
Yeah.
So just call timeouts and
let them sacrifice their own timeouts.
But the Saints didn't call their timeouts. So why? Couldn't he tell that they that?
Are you talking about the last drive?
He's talking about the last drive in which
the
they wound
drive.
Up tying the game.
The Saints weren't calling their timeouts purposely to run the clock out. I mean, it was so obvious to me watching the game. I mean, I couldn't believe it. All the time ran out. I kept thinking the whole time the Saints had the ball, they're going to score, obviously, but hopefully the Giants have enough time to go back and score themselves. But then with 30 seconds left, how could he leave only 30 seconds left? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe the Saints were thinking the same thing
that
the Giants were thinking, that we can't stop this team.
Why,
so, you know.
Well, Drew Brees even mentioned after the game, I mean, he was thinking in the back of his mind with the way Eli Manning was playing, you know, we want to try to milk as much clock because we're concerned if we give the football back to the Giants, they're going to march down the
field.
That's
my point. Maybe
even
that's why they
weren't
calling
their
timeouts.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, that's why they didn't call their timeouts. But what I'm saying is how could Coughlin not have seen that? How could he not have realized that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it was a matter of also, remember, you're in a tie game, and Dave, appreciate the phone call, as opposed to if you're trailing in that circumstance and you need more time to get in a position, Jeff, where you need a game-tying field goal, it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, worst-case scenario, you're going to overtime under those circumstances.
And I think that's everybody's mindset there. I think the Saints knew that we're gonna try to score. We're going to let the clock run down because we don't want to give the Giants – you know, the clock and the ball, because the way that they're playing right now, they're going to go down and score, and we're not going to be able to get the ball back. We're not going to have any time left. So they just wanted to run the timeout and then get the tie score and go into overtime. They just got handed a gift at the end of the game. They really did. You know, that whole sequence of those three plays, you bust a first down there, the game is you can look in hindsight, it's all completely different there.
The narrative changes. It's
totally.
Completely.
And look what Sean Payton said. Our mindset was we're going to get the ball back with 5 seconds left in the game, and we're going to get maybe one play and then see
correct.
What happens.
Yeah.
But it all changed when they gave him the ball in the 32-yard line.
You get the
line.
Penalty, and now you're like, why are we going to run a play and jeopardize getting a turnover if we're going to put ourselves in a position? I just want to get to one or two quick tweets here, and I lost track of the tweet, but somebody made up a good point about how well DRC is playing this season, Jeff, and even in a loss, you know, he had another interception. He also forced the ball out of Snead's hands that McBride recovered to get the touchdown. He's had two of the three defensive scores for the Giants. I mean, that's a guy that's been dealing with some injuries. He's been battling. It's easy to overlook his play, but, you know, he's provided a lot of sparks on defense this season.
Well, I think we all know that's why they liked him and they signed him to that big deal, because this is the DRC that you want to be able to be your number one guy, and not only can he cover the number one guy, he can make plays and big plays, you know, and just this season. Yeah, absolutely. You know, look at the Dallas game. We got he scoops and scores there, and just playing great. You know, I don't know if he got hurt on one of those series where he went out that they ended up scoring when he went out of the game. So he needs to stay in the game as much as he can. And they need him.
Absolutely. And that tweet was from A.J. Marshall at A.J. Marshall 3. Certainly appreciate
all, right, AJ Marshall.
All of you for weighing in. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for all the tweets. We'll continue to break it all down and look ahead to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers starting tomorrow on the latest edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll speak to you tomorrow.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.